It's August 5th, 2018, and my brain knew what to do. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Crow, a Dota 2 podcaster where we sometimes talk about Dota 2 on a podcast called Bottle Crow Reborn, and I'm Nick Cease.
And I'm Six Detmar, and it's Bottle August Crow Reborn. 5th, 2018.
I think we're learning. We need to like do a few more iterations of this, and then we'll.
Yeah, no, it's where we're getting better at this. Mm-hmm. Every repetition, you know, we make little mistakes, we make choices, and we're not really sure what the value of them is. But then, like, we get the win loss, and we're like, okay, and that's positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. I think in like so what is this episode 102. I think maybe in like 20 episodes or so, we should go up against like the 99.5th percentile of podcasts and see like how different we are and if we can match against them. Like, what would be a 99.5% percentile podcast for you that we could go
against?
And
I'm Six Detmar. I think it would probably be like, I don't know, I think pretty highly of the Giant Bomb cast. I feel like that's a pretty good gaming podcast.
Okay, well, we'll work it out. We'll have a big event in some sort of space. I think we could get like Purge to cast our podcast battle. It'll be exactly like that Robot Wars show or BattleBots, except podcasts.
Wait, like we'll have like buzzsaws and shit?
Well, yeah, like usual.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought we could put
solid rocket boosters on the side. Could it spin a little faster?
We're caught up in OpenAI fever here on Bottle Crow.
Woo! I'm waving my robot flag.
We're super stoked for our robot masters.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into Mega Man.
Oh, no. It's that kind of show, is it? I see. Yeah, well, I just came in. Oh, I did not just...
What that means. If you like, I can search the web for... I say, yeah, will I?
What the fuck? What did I say? What could I possibly have said to activate the Siri? Shit.
Don't.
Oh, my God. I did not activate Siri manually. I swear to God. I'm just realizing how, like, apt that is. I shit you not, Six.
I believe you. I believe you. You are not very good at having a straight face.
I'm going to throw
or a straight
this
voice,
phone.
As the case may be.
Behind me. I just threw the phone behind me. Hopefully she can't hear him anymore. I just came back from watching OpenAI. I was sitting outside watching it on my telephone, and they 2-0'd the quote-unquote 99.95 percentile team, which was like Blitz, Cap, Merlini, and crew. Fogged. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got 2-0'd. It wasn't a total smash, but it was pretty convincing.
I was definitely convinced. I don't know. I didn't get to watch all of it. I mostly watched game two. I caught a little bit of the end of game one.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it felt like it was just a question of efficiency, right? Like I felt like the humans had like smart plays on numerous occasions, but it's just like it's really hard. It's like fighting five scripters, right? Like they go for an initiation and Lion would get an instant hex, and it's like, well, that kind of negates your Earthshaker Blink Dagger, doesn't it?
I think they've coded in reaction times, but they're still like cream of the crop reaction times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they probably coded in like if you see someone coming, you can shift Q. Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's fair. Mm-hmm. It's just like, they're just playing like the best of the best in every possible way.
Yeah.
The part where they sometimes drop two wards on the same spot, but
Yeah. The smokes, they, mm-hmm. like CM was constantly buying smokes because like Purge said, they probably think that they should because it's in the recommended item build, but then they don't really know what to do with it, but they know that they have to use items in their inventory. So they just kind of press the smoke button a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's random things like that, but that little bit of unpredictability also like helped them out a lot. Like they had some random wards sometimes, some like weirdly defensive wards, or at least to us weirdly defensive wards on a side of the map where they had already taken towers, and it got them a kill on Shadow Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they also had like a spontaneous like Lion was going for a rune and spontaneously hit his dust. And Ricky was there, and they killed Ricky.
Yeah. Perch is like, what the hell? That's weird. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like they could have cheated.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was cool to watch, because I've never really sat down and watched OpenAI play, like, a long game. And I'm just, like, sitting there thinking, like, what? Wow, this is just, like, machine learning, like, controlling five Dota heroes. Because, like, I know the process you would go through to code a Dota bot, right? It's an algorithm. It's based on what's happening. What should I be doing now? Because that's what we do when we play. But then, like, the machine learning part of it, it's... You have to... I don't know. It's harder to think through and predict what they'll do and what they'll be good at or bad at. But the very small amount of limitations there are now just makes it feel like a real Dota game, except there's nobody... There's no brain behind, like, your enemy. It's literally just data. It's not even, like, decision-making. It's just data.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, limitations include, like, they're not playing on a current version of the patch, right?
Yeah, the one patch behind, I think.
I don't know if they're allowed to do Roche at this point. I don't recall if they fixed that caveat.
I don't think so.
So there's still a few things, like, there's still a few, like, illegal actions, right? But, I mean, like, the humans drafted Ricky specifically to fuck with OpenAI. I mean, like, they can draft what they want, and it worked. Ricky did fuck with them, but not enough.
Yeah, just in a matter. I think Blitz also, he was on the Shadow Fiend. He rushed, like, he got, I think it was Brown Boots, Aquila, and then he got a Shadow Amulet to build into Shadow Blade. And he kind of, like, abused that invisibility a little bit, but it didn't really matter. Like, he didn't die at one point because he just Shadow Amulet, like, abused their unpreparedness. But then they just, like, swung around and got a tower because there was still 3-4 heroes in the area. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really do enough for them.
It also felt like he sort of failed to, and, you know, this is just because of the momentum of the match at that point, but he really failed to capitalize on, like, he never got a single, like, Invis Requiem.
No. It was... They're definitely, like, 99.95th percentile players, the human team human. But it's just, like, the little things in initiating or little positioning things in team fights. Like, team human had an Earthshaker, and I think there was, like, 4 or maybe even 5 heroes at some point. Up on team human's, like, I think tier 3s or racks, they were hitting them. And... like, Earthshaker just, like, sat there. He tried to look for, like, a good initiation, but he just never went in. It was, like, waiting for the perfect thing. And then eventually the team fight started without him. And so he went to just, like, hit a gyro that was closer to them. But Lion was waiting on the low ground and just hexed him over the wall. And he died. And he never got off Echo Slam. It was just like, oh. So that's how it's going to go. It's just these small little things in team fights.
Well, and also it's just, like... the psychological pressure of, like, the thing, I feel like the most, like, the thing you can say about the bots, there are two things you can say that bots can just do better than humans, period. One is their coordination and teamwork is absolute.
It was cool. Yeah, it's like, there's no mismatch of, because, you know, when we're all playing together, we're all at different skill levels, but we also think differently. Like, every 3.7k player isn't the same. So you have to, like, fight and, like, mesh and resolve what you actually want to do.
But the other thing is we also just think too similarly in ways where it's like we start a fight and everybody's like, okay, we need to stun the Sven, and you see 3 stuns hit the Sven and you're like, fuck.
Yep. Well, we've stunned the Sven, I guess. Yeah, they were just like, I think Purge's other co-caster analyst, whoever, said this, they were just so efficient. Like, all the time. They never overkilled. It's just like, okay, we've dedicated enough. We're going to kill this. And then they use the resources in the team fight elsewhere so efficiently. And that's like a super pro player thing. That's like a TI winning thing to be able to do.
Yeah, that's the other thing I felt like that I was going to say is that, like, one of the two things is that they just didn't waste. Like, there was a perfect example of it in the second game where there was a fight that started because Team Human went for a side pull to fuck with the bots. The bots got vision of it and went to go in. And the humans, were caught dead to rights, but they tried to pop salves in order to get somebody out alive, right? Mm-hmm. and it didn't work. And then, like, a little bit later, there was a turnaround, and, like, the bot had a salve and did not pop it because the bot basically did the math and was like, no, this would be a waste of a salve, and just let themselves die.
Yep. Yeah, and, like, they, Team Human also had a DP, and I forget who was playing it, but DP would just, like, pop exorcism in team fights, and it didn't really do anything. And, yeah, like, the duration, one time, like, DP popped it and then immediately died. It's like, well, you know, there goes your reason to pick that hero for 130 seconds or something. Mm-hmm. They were never able to get on the right foot, Team Human.
Yeah.
But so we'll have to see. I hope there'll mm-hmm. be a TI in some capacity.
I really would like, I mean, I think you can't end TI on this note, but a part of me really wants them to just play the winners.
I was going to say, like, it would be a weird thing to do, but I really want to see the TI8 winners play OpenAI.
Yeah, but you can't end it with, like, congratulations to, you know, like, Team Liquid, the best in the world. No, get crushed by a robot.
Like, I don't know, maybe they could, like, this is 99.95 percentile, but Team Liquid is better. Like, there are actual pro teams who are not just super high MMR, the best MMR, but are mm-hmm. actually professionals. So I feel like, you know, they have the best chance.
But, okay, Nick, here's what we do.
Okay.
You have TI. And then you have them win, and then you have the moment of, like, here comes a new challenger, and OpenAI 5. And, of course, the OpenAI 5 win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like basically, it's just, like, everybody starts heading backstage from Liquid, like depressed. And then, like, Miracle turns around at the last second and, like, grabs a mic, and he's like, no, this isn't over. I'll see you at the Intergalactic. And he points up and there's a big sign that says the Intergalactic. And it's just full wrestling now. It's just wrestling.
And then the cage comes. No, wait. They rise out of the stadium on, like, you know, rocket. These pedestals, right? But they're, like, designed to be like rockets. And so all of Team Liquid just ascends to the top of the Vancouver, whatever Vancouver stadium they're at. And it's just, like, in a month, it's the Intergalactic. And it's them versus OpenAI again.
But then, like, and the game's going badly, right? Like, OpenAI is winning.
Yeah.
But it's like, and the commentator's like, it's really weird that they had to call in a sub. I would have thought Mutombo Man wouldn't want to miss this match. And then, like, as the game's starting, like, the OpenAI is going for the high ground, suddenly Mutombo Man pops up and, oh my god, it's Mutombo Man with a steel chair! And he just starts hitting the OpenAI computer.
Yes, have the server rack in the middle of the state. Oh my god. Oh, no. So they're going to be liquid cooled servers. They're going to be. You can do this where you submerge a computer in mineral oil, and mineral mm-hmm. oil is completely clear. So he's going to come out, and it's just going to be this big tank in the middle of the stage, okay? And that's where, like, the server is that runs OpenAI. And then that's going to happen. Mutombo, he's going to come out with an axe, like a fire axe, mm-hmm. and he's going to just chop through the, like, plexiglass or glass walls of the server room. And it's in, like, all the mineral oil just spill out onto the stage. You know, Mutombo Man's soaked. And then the server starts to overheat, and then they put some pyrotechnics in it, and they just they blow up the server, and OpenAI explodes.
And then, like, he's standing there, and he's just, like, staring down at the wreckage of the computer, and, you know, like, the crowd starts to chant, like, Liquid, 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 and then, like, a guitar riff hits, and Purge is like, by God, that's Watson's music. Watson, no! The Jeopardy IBM computer. He's come to get revenge.
This is Jeopardy. Wow. And then all five contestants of Team Liquid play Jeopardy. Like, normally Jeopardy's played with three people, but if you made the board a little bigger and you had a longer time, like, some sort of, you know, stadium thing, there's people assembled at a stadium, you'd have a little more time than, like, a 22 minute TV show slot, then they could all play Jeopardy, and that's how you get the trophy for the Intergalactic.
I'm going to hand it to you. What is your ass? Bam.
We shouldn't talk about this, Six. You know what we just did is very, very dangerous, because it's time once again. The bottle crow curse has struck again.
It has.
Last episode, we talked about, just randomly, before the podcast, Six is like, you know, where the hell is Slax? Like, what's up with Slax? Or maybe it was me. One of us is like, what is up with Slax? So we talked about it on the pod, like, man, remember Slax? We missed that guy. Well, today, posted on to the Dota 2 subreddit, the source for all your news on the world, Sir Action Slax, short film contest submission 2018. He's back. He was on location in, like, the mountains of Colorado shooting a, like, Country Roads, West Virginia parody as Gyrocopter in a costume.
And, like, so it's like, oh, okay, they said, where's Sir Action Slax? And then Sir Action Slax came back. Like, big deal that was going to happen at some point. I think it was on the air. Maybe it wasn't. But I think it was on the air that you were like, he's probably off making a gyrocopter video.
Yeah, I'm like, literally, what? He's like on some sort of journey on location shooting some gyro video. And it's not like well produced at all. It's still Slax and it's still shitty. But it's like he was literally on location in some, you know, went to some park or something, national park, and went on a hike and like had a fucking bass guitar and, you know, shot lots of footage for his annual gyrocopter video. Whatever we say will happen. We have to be careful about what we say.
Okay, here's what I'm gonna say. Please nerf Enchantress or buff. Shit! No, I already said it.
It's too late.
Oh no!
It's
oh no!
I spoke I already. Buff. He broke the glass. He pressed the red buff. Button.
Oh, Buffwood Ranger.
I know. Oh. Now she's going to get the Earth Spirit treatment.
Yeah, well, I mean, 7.19 was step one. Those two both got their nerf on.
Okay, it was, and, yeah.
I mean, listen, I get it with Wind Ranger. It wasn't that bad of a nerf, and she's been pretty popular with the pros lately. But, like, has Enchantress really been that much of a problem?
Yeah, and so, like, the nerf, Nature's Attendance or Heal, the mana cost at level 1 was increased from 110 mana to 170 mana.
Which is genuinely devastating. That's brutal.
Ouch. And, like, it now goes down with level, so there's more reasons to, like, have a more varied build. It's one of those rare spells that actually goes down in mana cost as you level it up, but it's like 10 mana less at level 4, which is nothing. Like, by the time you're at level 4, 10 mana is nothing.
Yeah, the actual point of it is to make it so Enchantress can't dive anymore, which was, like, her thing.
Yeah, it's just she's worse at it now. Yeah, 60 mana. That's a lot.
It's a really rough one.
Yeah, like, Crystal Maiden, the Nova mana cost was increased by 30 at level 1. And it's like, oh, well, now that's, you know, what Purge was talking about in his video. You can't really do that anymore. Poor Enchantress.
Garbage tier.
Yep.
Trash.
Yep.
At least they nerfed Nimbus, but...
You know what else is trash?
What's that?
Everything.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I'm here for it. Yes,
because,
correct.
Because, dear listeners, we report from the front lines of the Dota 2 subreddit where we live. It's once again time for the Gordon Ramsay announcer pack.
Oh, is it really that time of... I was going to say, is it really that time of year again? But I should really probably be saying, is it really that time of the month again? Like, oh my god, Reddit.
It is really that time again. Let me check. I didn't see any comments on it being like, are you kidding me again? It's all the same. I would buy this in an instant, literally. And then there's people posting like funny quotes that he would say. No one gets courier. Buy the fucking donkey. Gordon Treasure 3, please. 10 out of 10 would buy. Rampage, you, fuck off. I can't find a comment being like, guys.
Is there a single...
What fucking rock do you live under?
Okay, is there someone who says it's raw? Because if there isn't, it's raw.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the sixth line in the actual post, even. Your ancient is fucking raw.
I quit.
It's raw. Is this a joke? You've got to be shitting me. Dire's Curry is dead. It's dead.
I don't. What? That was a real headset throw, by the way. I actually
yeah,
threw my headset.
That's good.
I'm probably going to have to make it quieter in post because
nothing gets you going like a Gordon Ramsay announcer pack call. I don't know when I saw it. I feel like I woke up and I was, you know, drinking coffee or something. I was on the subreddit taking a look and I saw it and just a wide grin spreads across my face. And I put this on the notes.
I probably around the same. You know what? You know what? I'm going to give you credit. You're usually faster than I am. Probably like a couple of hours after you. Mm-hmm. I opened up the Dota 2 subreddit and I saw that. And I just like literally just immediately control W, close the tab. I was like, nope, I'm not reading the r/Dota 2 today.
I can't do it today.
I just.
Mm-mm-mm. Gordon Ramsay announcer pick.
I can't believe they even had the It's Raw. It's just like every single. I have to move on. I'm mad, but I have to move on.
We'll see you next time back in the Gordon Ramsay announcer pack corner. It's probably sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, probably, huh? Yeah. I bet that's gonna how it's gonna go. I bet we're gonna be back here real fucking soon, aren't we?
I mean, six. You know how it is. The Dota 2 dev subreddit is actually the Reddit. It's actually the Dota 2 subreddit because we didn't talk about it because I see this all the time for every treasure ever, but people, there were lots of posts complaining about, hey, you know, I bought all sorts of treasures and I didn't get any of the rares. I didn't get any of the ultra rares and stuff. I'm like, it's a selection bias, yada, yada. Like, this is always going to happen. There's always going to be posts being like, I bought 50,000 treasures and I didn't get the cosmically rare thing, even though it's escalating odds. And like, that's just what happens when you have such a large number of players who like buy that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then August 2nd, 2018, we get an update, a patch. There is an Immortal update. There's a statement from Valve saying, we've heard a bunch of complaints from the community after the recent treasure was released, and we wanted to walk you through how things unfolded from our end. And basically...
Wait, no, hang on. What is there to unfold? I mean, a bunch of people were crying about stuff that happens every time, and there's
no
problem.
Yeah, so they were on Reddit. Yeah. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, we saw this selection bias stuff, and, you know, naturally because there's less people buying Treasure 3s because they get more and more rare, we didn't think it was an issue. However, the complaints continued to come in, and it was confusing to us why. We decided to investigate a bit more, but we're generally still assuming it was a mixture of selection bias and supply differences between the different treasures. Late last night, we eventually found a bug that existed for all the Immortal Treasures this season. It primarily affected players who opened a large number of treasures, causing the drop rates to not escalate as quickly as they did last year. As a result of this, they're re-rolling all the treasures like that you opened to see like if you actually should have gotten a rare. It was actually fucked up, and the entire thing was actually screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this, I think it was like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and I'm like, this can't be, this doesn't make sense. It's so fucking easy to do an escalating chance. I like wrote an equation, like I was like, just making sure I knew how to do it and that it was easy. Yep, there's an easy fucking way to do like some sort of exponentially increasing like odds type thing. And like, I don't know, 20 characters I wrote it. I'm on Six's side about Valve now. They're actually... so bad. This is the most fucking basic thing you do to create revenue for your company. Like, this is a very large source of income. Like, the battle pass itself is one thing, but then a lot of people buy a lot of treasures. And, like, this escalating odds thing isn't key to them staying in business. It's not, like, a key part of the gameplay. But when you're making the fucking thing, it's not hard to say... after one treasure, the chance should be this. After two treasures, the chance should be this. How do you fucking get this wrong? Every fucking year. I was legitimately upset when I saw this. Like a non-being upset about a video game way, but being like a Santa Claus is dead kind of way. I had so much more hope in Valve than this.
I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why you had.
And I was also upset because it like vindicates Reddit. Whenever Reddit's highly vindicated, it's always a bad day. So yep. It like vindicated all the complaining because, and they were actually right. And yeah. Mm. Just like a bad team. Not a bad team, a bad system of the way they make their product. It's unreal.
The level, the stuff we hear about the way Valve works internally, the system of bonuses, is fundamentally antithetical to a productive company. You know what I'm talking about?
The keyword is productive. Stuff? Yeah. Like, I know there's things I like about the flat structure that we hear that Valve kind of has. Now, I know as like a reasonable human being that you can't have everybody in this kind of company be literally on the same level. And so naturally there's like, you call them like cliques or whatever, or people who are actually quote unquote in power, I guess. Mm-hmm. But basically from what we hear, which, you know, naturally is going to be, you know, selection bias again, it's going to be the more negative stuff, but it's like, if you're not making waves by coming up with fancy new features or like releasing new features all the time, then you're not going to like ruffle any feathers. And so people aren't going to know what you're doing. And so you're not going to be like voted or somehow, you know, distributed a large bonus.
So specifically the way it works is bonuses are given for good ideas.
Basically. Yep.
And like, so like, but yeah, this is like reports from people who've left Valve. And, you know, it's possible that they're unreliable reports. They've been corroborated a few times. I suspect they're true. But I will just say, you know, for the record, this isn't a thing that Valve has officially said. They haven't officially confirmed it. But what these people say is, if you're at Valve and you come, like, let's say you come up with the idea of, like, let's have escalating odds for these treasures in Dota, right? Mm-hmm. I think that will make people buy more Battle Pass levels because they're like, oh, wait, my chances will increase. I should keep buying.
And then you say, hey, we had more money coming into the company because of your idea.
Right. So they say, good idea, get a bonus. The bonus is for the idea, not for it being implemented. And this is why you see Valve announce tons of shit that never happens, because they get paid the bonus for having the idea. No one gets paid to make it. I mean, they get paid their salary, but nobody gets a bonus. And so it doesn't happen. Stuff gets put off because they had the idea and that's the bonus. The bonus isn't for following through.
I think it's even like a little less direct than that, because it's not like that to me sounds like a higher, like a, like, I don't know, an EA, and you got like some exec being like, oh, this person had a great idea. Well, you've got to give them a bonus. It's that like nobody's going to know what the hell you're doing unless it's like this big thing and you're like, oh, I have this big idea. And so if people don't know what you're doing, if people like, then people can't appreciate the amount of work you do and like the quality or anything that you might possibly have in your work. And so you're just going to be invisible. Like if you're doing all sorts of bug fixes all the time, you're just like, that's not noteworthy, despite the fact that that like makes the game run better and you have to have that. And so it's like always them limping along behind of like, somebody's going to like have to, you know, spend a week or something and actually do this type of thing. But it means they're not, you know, working on the next big thing. So they're not going to be like part of the best teams and have the best compensation or stuff. And it's not like everybody's there just money, 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 but like it's a mindset type of deal. Like you're not in a staffing kind of thing. You don't have staff whose job it is to debug stuff, or you don't have enough.
And also, I mean, like, it's not like, I'm sure there are some people. There are very few developers whose favorite job is debugging.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, naturally, if people, like, even if they're not motivated by money, which they're going to be more motivated by money in a company where that's the culture. The culture is going to make people who wouldn't normally be going for bonuses go for bonuses. But even if that isn't their motivator, then they're motivated by, well, if they're going to get paid and they're not caring much about the money, they're motivated probably by doing work they find enjoyable, if they can pick whatever they want to do, and very few people find it enjoyable to fix broken things.
It's not even fixing broken things, it's quality assurance. Like,
wow.
God, it's like, And it doesn't even have to be a motivation thing. It's literally a having superiors thing. Having not even superiors, but like people who do project management or like program management. Like I'm working in a company now and I'm like, I build electronic hardware for space, right? If something goes wrong, you can't go up and fix it. So we have like a lot of really, really like not exciting work to do in terms of like quality assurance to make sure that your shit works. This is not like a thing that's unique to my job. Like every fucking job has a quality assurance thing. It's a liability thing for the company. It's like a reputation thing. You want to make sure that your company produces like good stuff, whether it's software, food, or hardware or something. And it's just like that's a thing that's demotivated in Valve. Like nobody has the motivation to do that. You have the opposite motivation. Nobody's like, we should really slow down on this and write some more like quality assurance documents and run some more tests. Like come up with test procedures and then run them. Let's have somebody open 1,000 chests, or like let's have 10,000 virtual machines open 10,000 chests and see what happens, and then like plot it in Excel against what you expect based on the formula that you have for your escalating odds. And like you can drive yourself crazy by doing this infinitely, but you don't have to. You just do like a fucking basic thing. This is not a hard thing to do. Yep. And it wouldn't be a big deal on its own, but it's the fact that it's another fucking thing where your odds are broken or some shit. Rubbed me right the wrong way.
It's really frustrating. It's really disappointing. And I imagine it stings. Like, I recorded a podcast last month called Ill-Gotten Games, where basically I yelled at Valve for half an hour. Like, I'm getting it out of my system. This is you finally, after being a fan of them for so long, finally being like, maybe enough is enough.
Like, it's just like, obviously there's not enough oversight. Like, you need a fucking manager. Like, there's a reason there's lots of managerial jobs. It's not solely because, oh, we have to have people have quote-unquote upward mobility with more pay and stuff. And it's like there's a reason for boring shit. A lot of the time, there's a lot of very good, very uninteresting, un-bonus awarding reasons to be slower in your development cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just yeah. But like what do you do? You can't hire a manager and then like put everybody under somebody, because that's not Valve at all. And like if somebody demand, like you put someone who's on the same, like, I don't know, what do you call it, the same flat structure, and you say, okay, this person is dedicated to quality assurance for Dota 2. Like they better be like a really old, like very senior, I mean like expert in, I don't know, software game development, because like Ice Frog, whoever else is like working, why would they defer to this person? Like if they're not their quote unquote superior, why would they?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh boy, I really wish this type of thing worked. But for it to work, you have to have a lot of smart people being like, okay, like this person did a lot of good work, but unless things break, you never notice if people do testing or not. So
I feel like part of the problem is like the way Valve is set up right now, it's just the basic concept of a feedback structure is broken.
Yep.
Because motivation. Like they're going to get so much money just by the store existing, they literally don't have to do anything well. There's no like, oh no, you're going to lose money. Like, no, you're going to make tons of money no matter what you do. You could come in and just make sure that the servers are plugged in every day. I know, not literally that simple, I'm exaggerating, but like basically if you just come in every day and make sure that no one has unplugged the servers, you're gonna make a really good salary compared to other game development teams. And it's like, well then what's your, like with that plus there's no one over you telling you to get work done, plus your studio doesn't really make games anymore, so you can't have the satisfaction of, look at this new game we put out that everybody loves. Like, why would you give a fuck about anything?
Yep. Like, I love the idea of having this, like, haven of super creative, super talented people doing this stuff, but you have to have a structure. You have to kind of say, like, beneath them that does, like, some of the more dirty work. It's like, I don't know, it's an important thing to pay people to do. Like, mm-hmm. You can have these super big shot people, like, you can have the Ice Frogs, the Gabes and stuff, but like, you have to have some people who do less flashy shit. It's important. You got to build bridges. You got to maintain your roads, people.
You really do. But we just talked about how Valve, like, isn't very productive anymore, doesn't make new games. I did leave a little wiggle room in there on purpose with my phrasing. Because, remember Artifact?
Nope.
That's back.
Nope.
I don't know what's
Artifact. Is that like
sort of what that Indiana Jones kind of assumed you'd know?
It's so like, you found this ancient art, like the Ark of the Covenant. It's like this belongs to. I think he's probably more like
this belongs to the museum.
It's kind of like putting a tea ball on a tea. I didn't really expect it.
A tea bowl on a tea?
A tea ball on a tea.
What is it? Is it called a tea ball? Isn't it just like a softball? Don't you put a baseball or a softball on the tee, and then the game itself is called T-ball?
Look over there. I'm changing the subject. So Artifact is back.
Yeah. We finally have a release date. It's coming out in early November, and it's going to cost $20.
Yeah.
And you get like 10 packs of cards, I think.
Yeah. Are you excited for Artifact?
I am, because it's a Valve video game, which is weird. It's a new one. It's strange.
I want to know what that means in 2018. I got
to
admit.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see, because, you know, we had that Artifact Twitter account that tweeted 5 times and then they abandoned it because whoever opened it got a big bonus, maybe. I don't, probably not, but like, I'm cynical at this point. And they tweeted at Straction Slacks and just like $10,000 fell into their pocket. Gabe, you know, coughed. And then we had the news there was like some sort of press day, and so we know a little bit about things, but I want to play it. And now I'm allergic to it.
Same.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'll definitely get it. Definitely want to try it. Like, I never got into Hearthstone, really, but I could be down with the concept, I think. I mean, I was on your... I don't think I mentioned it here, but I asked you for a game to play so that I could understand your mobile phone game gacha genre world, the gacha genre. It's like, I don't know, you get like, you play the gacha, you spin the wheel and you get characters and stuff. And then we recorded an entire podcast with some other people about that kind of stuff. You guys, you know, I'll talk about it for a while. And Artifact is going to be on mobile.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a good implementation. I don't know. I don't really play mobile games very much, but I could see myself playing Artifact.
Well, part of the problem is I'm pretty sure. I mean, like, if we're assuming it'll be like Hearthstone in basic structure, then it's going to be an online multiplayer game. It's going to be PvP primarily with some single player content. And like, okay, obviously this is just me. Fortnite is doing great on phones, but I don't want to play.
Fortnite is also on phones? I heard about PUBG, but Fortnite, I guess that obviously makes sense. But
you're younger than me. How are you this not in touch?
Because I don't understand how you can play PUBG on your phone and it be a good control scheme.
Well, I don't think it is, but
tons of money in it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Fortnite is making millions and millions on phones. So clearly there are people who are interested in playing multiplayer games on their phone. Mm-hmm. I never was. Huh. I feel like that's a bad experience. Cause it's like, first of all, I want better controls than a touchscreen for multiplayer stuff. But also it's just like, I don't know, like, fucking, I've lived lots of places with bad connections, or I've had, like, your fucking signal go, you know, seemingly randomly. It's like, oh no, turns out there's a dead zone here. Turns out my good friend AT&T just didn't decide to put any coverage over this fucking part of the country. And like, DC, and that's it?
Yeah, I feel like because it's like a card game, I'm not really worried about the controls. I think it's a good control. Like, I have a lot of those concerns, but I feel like for me, Artifact could still slot in there. I know, we'll have to see.
Well, let me rephrase the controls. We'll wait. Let me rephrase the controls question. So I have an iPhone SE. I don't know if you're familiar with various phone models, but that is currently the smallest iPhone they still make.
Mm-hmm.
It's the size of the 5S, if you know the 5S. It's just, it's a smaller phone. It's compact. Yeah. You can use it with one hand, which you can't with Mulsanne's dart. And so it's a smaller screen. Hearthstone is like the suite of, it's like two sets of cards on either side, plus your deck, plus your hero powers. That's a decent amount of real estate. Artifact is three lanes of cards, plus your deck, plus who knows what else.
Yeah, the three lanes aren't all on screen at once. Like, you swipe between them.
I didn't know that. Okay.
We haven't seen it on the phone, but I would imagine they have to do it that way. I have a 6 or a 6S, and, like, I don't know. I like the small size, too. I get why it would be really nice to have a huge phone. Like, it's cool to have a huge touchscreen computing device type thing. But I also really like the small phones, and I'm feeling like if I download random stuff now, it's like, how are they expect me to see it on this small screen? Oh, they don't. They don't really care.
Mm-hmm. You are no longer a priority to them.
Nope.
Huh. Yeah. No, I guess we'll see. I don't know. I'm not excited to play it on my phone, but even as much as I, you know what? If nothing else, at least to be mad at it, I want to play it. At least to be like, oh, okay, this is what you've done with your time. Like, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's always been a part of my, like, criticism of Valve that it's like, well, maybe, like, they never tell us anything. Maybe they've been working on some amazing shit in the background, right?
They release Half-Life 3 and Half-Life 4 and Half-Life 5, and I will delete this podcast. I will somehow take it off the RSS feed.
So, like, there's always, and, like, you know, Artifact's been one of those projects. It's like, okay, well, they've been quietly working on Artifact all this time. If it comes out and it's just, like, if it's not the best digital card game I've ever played, and I don't think that's an unfair request. I really don't. With as much time as they've taken and the designers they have on board with it and the money they've invested, like, no, this should be the best card game I've ever played. Or digital, anyway. And if it's not, then it's like, okay, then what the fuck have you been doing all this time?
Yep. Yeah, we'll see.
I guess we will. Speaking of, like, other games, Nick, with queues getting longer and longer, I feel like I have started to play some games in queue sometimes, and then also, of course, games out of queue. Let's not pretend that everything we're going to discuss here is stuff I've played while queued for Dota, but, like, what for this week, for this new weekly segment of queue time...
Ooh...
We've been playing some BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle together.
Yes. This is... So, let's introduce... I don't. People probably know. Six is a huge fighting game person. I think it's fair to say.
I mean, at the end of every episode of this show, at this point, you hear a little bumper where I mention the fact that I'm on a fighting game podcast. That's so true.
Yeah. A neutral game. Yeah. And I've, like, played some. I have Street Fighter on my computer. I've played... some hours of it. I'm very bad, to be clear, but, like, I have fun in them sometimes. And then this weekend, because Evo, like a big fighting game tournament, is happening. How often does this happen? It feels like it's every other month.
It's once a year.
Once a year? Okay. I just hear about it a lot. It's a free weekend for, like, all the games that are there. So we're playing this anime fighting game where you have multiple characters, you play multiple characters in one round called BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. Yep.
Indeed. So BlazBlue is a long-standing fighting game series. Well, long-standing is maybe a little strong. The first one came out early PS3, and it's been around ever since. Calamity Trigger, then Continuum Shift, then Chrono Phantasma, then Central Fiction. Yes, they all have nonsense names. And now, Cross Tag Battle. And Cross Tag Battle is kind of unlike all the others. Like, the others are all, like, a pretty clear sequence of sequels, right? It's like, okay, we're adding more characters, we're developing more mechanics, we're building on the story. It's becoming more and more incomprehensible. And with Cross Tag Battle, like, okay, with Central Fiction, the previous game, they finished their story. And they were like, okay... We're done with the story of BlazBlue for now. Maybe we'll come back to it, but we're in a good place. But we want to make another BlazBlue. Let's make a big crossover game. So Crosstag Battle is like a 2v2 fighting game with characters from BlazBlue, from Undernight Inbirth, which is a game you play with me sometimes, called Umiel, yeah. Also.
Another fighting game.
Yeah, also characters from the Persona series, which, you know, obviously they're taken from Persona 4 Arena, which is one of the Persona spinoffs. And then also characters from the CG Western anime Ruby, which is definitely the odd man out. Fits pretty well in the game, but when you hear the pitch, you're like, wait, what?
I've heard of that show, I think, but never watched it.
Yeah, it's a thing. So there's this crossover game, and it's a bunch of like characters from all different franchises, and it's just genuinely, I think, one of the most accessible fighting games I've ever played.
Yeah, I mean, there's two like main attack buttons, right? Like A and B,
mm-hmm.
like your bread and butter, and then you can do like stick motions to do different special moves, and then you have two other buttons that do stuff, and then you have one other button to call in your other character, and that's basically about it. And it feels, mm-hmm. it just feels good to play as someone who's really quite bad at fighting games generally, in terms of like, you have to know your frame data here, and then you have to know what move can I do that has a short startup time, how many frames is it active. Like, I'm very bad at knowing that kind of stuff, in that it's like, It's very rarely fun for me to like learn how to be good at a fighting game in the same way that I enjoy learning how to be good at Dota, I think, for mm-hmm. whatever reason. But like, I can still enjoy the depth of it and like enjoy the tactics and stuff. And so this one is like a happy medium of like, you know, you're not just smashing your face across the keyboard, but you're not having to remember these ridiculously long sequences of button inputs and movements and stuff to do.
I mean, it does have stuff like auto combos, which some game have experimented with, where it's like, okay, you just hit square over and over and you will do like a quick flurry combo that will, you know, that'll work. Yeah. It does have stuff where it's like, okay, you do a like this like motion, you do like a quick little quarter circle and then two buttons, and with every single character in the game you'll get a super. It's just like a lot of universal inputs, a lot of like easy, like how much effort it takes to do a cool thing is just so much lower than most fighting games, and so I feel like it's much more immediately rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, I just picked it up basically, like I installed it yesterday when it was free, and then we played some today, and like I beat you in a few rounds when you were playing characters you were very bad at, but still, like we had fun, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I wasn't like, I was playing characters I wasn't very, like, that weren't my specialty, for sure. But here's a fact about me and fight. So there's a term that people use called sandbagging. Are you familiar with the term sandbagging?
Is that like being not really in this context?
It is basically when you intentionally don't play your best.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you do it because you're like, oh, this person isn't worth my time, right? Yeah. Or sometimes you do it because you're like, hey, I'm playing with a new person and I want to take it easy on them so they have a good time. So you sandbag. I am incapable of sandbagging. I can't do it. I always play my best, and it's best within the context. Like, you know, maybe I'm not playing characters I'm the best with, but, like, I don't know how to take it easy on people.
Yeah. So, like, I appreciate that it's at least to me, not obvious that you're doing that with me if you ever are in any degree doing it. I appreciate it. You just, like, you know, put yourself at a disadvantage rather than, like, drop inputs or something.
Totally. And so you're not, I wasn't fucking around and you were taking games off of me. It's like, no, this game is like, and you know, overall, I was still winning. I know the game better. It's not just like the Mario Party of fighting games. but, you know, there is like a lot of accessibility, a lot of easy fun to be had, and just a lot of spectacle because it's a very splashy, flashy game.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, it was just us in our Discord, but it feels like, and like we've played other fighting, like the Uniel Undernight Inbirth thing. We've played with, you know, friend Harry, who you're on your fighting game podcast. Woo. And it's like, I could see you being a good party type fighter.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's interesting is, so we're recording this on the weekend of Evo. Like finals are going on for, I think, Tekken right now. There, now you know exactly when we recorded this. And there was a like BlazBlue Crosstag Battle finals, and I watched it last night, and they were incredible. Like, I genuinely thought when they announced this game for Evo, I was like, this game isn't deep enough for that. Like, this game's really fun, but it doesn't have the high-level play. Oh my god, I was wrong. This game's fucking insane with pros.
Yeah, there's just, like, it's fairly simple in terms of, like, Street Fighter has, like, 8 buttons. It is, like, you know, light, medium, heavy for both punch and kick, so that's 6. And then, like, you can do all sorts of other stuff. And this just has, like, it has less buttons, it feels like, to do, like, less lower level variants. But because there's just so much shit on the screen and shit you can do and call in, it still feels like I can see where people would go to be high level.
Yeah, it gets really nuts. So it's a game that's really, really welcoming for new people, but also you're not, like, unlike what I actually thought, it isn't sacrificing the high-level play. So if you like fighting games, or if you want to like fighting games, it's one I would recommend checking out.
Yeah, for sure.
The only problem with it is, if you play a match during your Dota queue and your Dota queue pops, you might just not want to switch over to Dota.
It tends to happen these days, you know? It's just like, do I really want to play the long Dota game?
Mm-hmm. It's weird. I'm playing these, like, 60-second matches of this fighting game and having more fun than I have in most full-length Dota games.
Well, some of our friends have been really getting to Rainbow Six Siege, which I've had for years. I, like, got it and then never really got into it. But, like, I've started to play with them more and more. And now I want to play that game less and less. It's so much sitting and waiting around if you die. If you're bad, it's really not fun, it seems like. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? I could be playing Dota, and I could be just doing things constantly. I could be doing so much constantly. And so I've played a few solo queue games this week, which I haven't really done in a while.
Yeah. Wow.
But mostly just because, like, I've been playing with people and, like, playing lots of Rainbow Six. And then just being like, guys, I can't do this. Like, I'm just, like, if you die, you're just sitting there. And, like, you can tag people on cameras as they try to attack you. But other than that, you're just, like, sitting there. And it feels like the best tactic at my level is just to, like, camp. And I really don't just want to sit there and then shoot people when they run by. And so Dota's like, I can do so much. I have so many buttons to press, so many places to move.
Yeah, the best round I ever had in that game, I was playing Doc, who, as you might suspect, is a doctor. So Doc is a defender, so I was on defense. And I hid behind a filing cabinet, because I was Doc, and I was just like, I'm just going to poke my healing gun out and heal people, and it'll be fine. And my entire rest of my team got wiped, like, as soon as the enemy showed up. And I was like, oh. And I just sat behind the filing cabinet, and, like, literally their entire team just walked past me single file, and I just lifted my gun and held down the trigger and killed them all. Like, it was the most no-skill play, but it was I did a good.
That's great.
But the way I did a good was by hiding and then holding down left mouse. And I was like, that was fun. But also, what does that say about this game?
Yeah, like, if I really wanted to be serious and get into it, then, like, I could understand trying to be the best and be competitive at it. But nope, not really the game I want to play all the time. That would be Dota.
You just got to play Dokkaebi.
Okay, yeah, that's right. You just, like, hack people.
Yeah, you just hack their phones. It's not very good, but it's very satisfying.
Yeah. You at least do something.
Because you have been hacked before by a Dokkaebi, I'm sure. And yes, you know what it's like to just... It's just suddenly your phone's like... And you're like, God damn it, you got to hold down X to make it stop buzzing. Yep. And it's just annoying. And you know that every time you hack, you're like, haha, I just annoyed 5 people. What's up?
Techies. That's probably 9 people, so that's value.
It is. All right, well, shall we move on to Jackie's Chow?
Yes. Speaking of value, let's talk about the value meal, lunch.
Lunch is the best meal.
Oh, please elaborate.
Lunch has usually, like, lunch is perfectly situated in the middle so that you can get away with eating anything for lunch, almost. I mean, like, obviously not like a lollipop. People usually are not going to call that lunch. But, like, if you're eating breakfast food, that's fine. If you're eating dinner food, that's fine. There's also food that feels distinctly lunchy, like a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then also, it's just, like, the timing of lunch is really flexible. You can have lunch early. You can have lunch late. You have lunch. It doesn't have to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly casual. It's not like you don't have, like, sit down. Like, you can have a sit down lunch, but even then, it feels more casual than a sit down dinner.
Yeah, and it's like, just you're like, not going to pop open a bottle of wine at lunch. No.
Right. The focus of dinner is often like, okay, this is like the closing of the day, and we're like having like a proper meal, and we're sitting down, and like sort of it's putting a capper on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And lunch is just like, fuck it, have a good time. Lunch is great.
I think we should delve deeper into personifying the meals. What is breakfast like?
Breakfast is, well, okay, so first off, as an introduction, I have breakfast maybe once or twice a month.
Okay.
I am not really a breakfast eater. But breakfast is like your car ran out of gas and barely rolled into the gas station, and you're like, I just got to get some gas in here. I've got 10 bucks. Let me just get some gas in the tank and get to where I'm fucking going.
Yeah.
Breakfast can be enjoyable. There's this, across the board, but generally speaking, breakfast is like, well, if I don't do this, I'm going to feel like shit, so I guess I have to.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I've started to eat breakfast less, and because it's like not really a health thing, it turns out. It's fine. And then I just like have coffee, and then like lunch, it's like, okay, time to eat. But because like I'm not having a fancy breakfast all the time, I feel like there's more potential, because like most people don't, right? Like it's a very, like you said, it's very like a functional type of deal. Like if you're running out of energy, you have breakfast. It's like, oh, I'm ready for the day. You know, most important meal of the day. However, I feel like there's more potential in that because it's not a very glamorous meal. It's probably the least glamorous meal for a lot of people. And so like if you actually sit down and do a dinner style of breakfast, where it's like you sit down and you've created, like you made a lot of pancakes, you made a lot of bacon and eggs, and then you like pour sugar on it that's like maple flavored, and then you have like juice that's from oranges, and then you can have like sausage, you can have potato products, hash browns, like that's like a very easy, very fundamental, but like exciting meal, like a large breakfast.
Sure.
The breakfast, rare large breakfast.
A lot of breakfast foods are good if you have the opportunity to actually enjoy them.
Yes. Yep. Agreed. But like you wouldn't want to have that every day. I like having a light or like no breakfast.
Like my favorite, I think I've mentioned it on this podcast, but my favorite food is Eggs Benedict. It's a breakfast meal. It's more brunchy usually than breakfast, but it is a breakfast food.
How would we describe a brunch? Like let's give these some characters. So like dinner is very serious. Like dinner's got a tie on, probably, like maybe a jacket or not, it depends. Lunch is probably like maybe I don't know, like probably like a flannel, but it's tucked in, like maybe to jeans or maybe some khakis or something. Breakfast is, well, there's two different breakfast people, right? You have like a bedhead person who like is in like a red
real breakfast person, America's breakfast person, breakfast the person. True breakfast person.
Yeah, just like some gym shorts and a t-shirt, and then you have the other fancier one. It's like, what would you know, big breakfast be?
Like a dark red like velvet bathrobe.
Oh, I was not going that direction, but I like it. I'll endorse it. And now brunch. I feel like brunch is like trust fund kid.
I got it exactly.
Okay.
Brunch is white button-up shirt, black tie, jacket over the chair.
Jacket over the chair? Yeah, for sure.
That's for brunch.
Sure. Yep. Brunch is just, I don't know.
Brunch is for pricks.
Yeah, like I would much rather, I don't know, I'd much rather have the big breakfast than a brunch.
I actually like brunch a lot, but I'm a prick.
Well, yeah. So. Of course.
I just, you know. I just wanted to make it clear that I know.
Yeah. Brunch is great, but I don't know. Out of all the meals, I feel like it's the most snobby by far, on average.
I mean, fucking mimosas, right? Oh my god.
I've never, what's in a mimosa?
It's champagne and champagne oranges. And
oh yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever had one. I should probably do it. And a Bloody Mary, never had one.
Bloody Marys are all right. I mean, not, mimosas seem, aren't bad. It's just a really prissy drink.
Yeah, it seems good. We should have brunch. I'll fly down.
It sounds nice.
Hike on down. We'll have brunch.
I actually have a really great brunch place near here. You will see lots of people in button-up white shirts with ties and jackets over their chairs.
I'll make sure to wear a white button-down shirt with a black jacket and my ties over the chair.
You know what, Nick? You could get away with a different color shirt. I think you're that kind of rebel.
It sounds like me, especially if I have really good sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be good.
Yeah.
They like
Gotta sleeves. Get some, maybe some French cuffs.
I really should get some of those. That'd be good.
What if you had a button-up white shirt, rolled the sleeves up to the elbow, and then had French cuffs on your wrists?
I feel like that's gotta be a thing. Or you have, like, literal cuffs at your fucking elbow.
I feel like that's an incredible power move.
It really is. I might have to do an analysis on a We Like Sleeves if I find something good.
All right, well, I think that pretty well covers Bottle Crow for this week, doesn't it, Nick?
I think so.
All right, well, with that said, then, thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of Bottle Crow Reborn. You can find us on your podcatcher of choice. You probably did. That's how you're listening, I'm imagining. But if you wanted to take an opportunity to recommend us to a friend, we would greatly appreciate that. We're kind of trying to expand the scope of the show a little bit, so it's not just like, hey, if you... all you care about is getting the most hardcore Dota strats. Because also, if that's why you care, why were you listening to us?
Yeah, nobody was ever. Ever.
I mean, I was. I would listen back and be like, wait, what insight did I have as to how Dota should be played? I don't remember how to play Dota.
What glorious insight did you find on the bottle?
But yeah, you know, spread the word. Help us, you know, grow and promote us. We would appreciate that a lot. I want to give you a big thank you. What do they say?
Right. You know, you look into the garbage... and the garbage looks
there's
back.
A crow? Oh, okay.
There's a crow in the garbage? I mean, I guess, like, if I found a dead crow...
Oh, I assume it was picking at the garbage. Like, crows are scavengers.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But, like, would they die in the garbage? I guess.
No,
like,
it's still alive. It's just picking at it, and then it'll fly away when it notices it's been seen.
Yeah,
that's a perfect analogy. It's a perfect analogy for us checking Reddit every week for content.
Nice. Good transit. You brought us back around. Continue.
I want to give a big thank you to Jeffrey Bryce, a.k.a. Pomodi, who is our... I did that by...
Our favorite dude.
He is our favorite.
Favorite music
dude. We're very grateful for our use of his Rhythms of Rift Shatter Ruins, which is our intro and outro here on the show, and you can find in the Steam Workshop if you want to help it get it in-game into Dota 2. I also want to give a thank you to Ashley Ryan, a.k.a. Swimmy, who did our podcast art. If you like this show, cool.
Yep.
I'll see you next week. Peace out. You thought I was going to forget. I didn't.
Sure.
No. We really gotta get you a new one. I can't with these shirts. If you do this one more time, I'm just gonna overdub you in the end.
What about Emma's gotta have it? Hold on. Emma's saying sure.
You're listening to a Scanline Media Network podcast. Check out our other podcasts, like Bottle Crow Reborn. So here's the thing, Nick.
Nobody cares.
No.
It's not about that.
You actually convinced me.
Shit.
The Garnet Wager. And immediately we get Yunji being like, so hang on. Why does everyone call Jinho Kong? And Jinho, like, really circuitously explains because they're making fun of me.
Like, it means bean, but it's all, like, small person, and, like, I'm...
neutral game.
So, if you're averse to frame data, you can still play the game, and it'll just sometimes take longer to figure some stuff out.
Oops, all anime gaiden. I've known some podcasters with taste, and they're all cowards. Let's talk about today's menu
oh my God.
For the Emiya family. Operation Serial.
Episode 4 yep. was a bit more understandable, but also I continue to sour on these kids. I think they're dicks.
Okay, that's fair.
And our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime.
And he has the blessed privilege of getting an invite. He shreds it in front of her, looks her in the eye, like touches
wipes
her face,
a tear off of her eye.
Wipes a tear off of her eye and goes, I'll kill you.
Visit Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com and our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia.